Hi, I'm Femi OK, and you're watching the stream. Today we head to Kazakhstan, where a fuel hike at the beginning of the year turned into demonstrations that escalated into widespread unrest. What brought so many people out on the streets? That's part of our programme today. Earlier we spoke to a journalist called Ajum, who covered the protest in Almaty, and this is what she told us.
From the people that I've spoken to, at least in Almaty, they all told me that they have seen horrible scenes of looting, robbery and violence from their balconies or on the streets. And for sure, it was the first time they've witnessed this. And many who were sitting at home told me that at night there was no presence of police or anyone to make them feel secure and safe. These protests have been remarkable in terms of showing the anger and frustration of regular Kazakh people with the current socio-economic and political situation.
Joining our conversation today, three guests all from Kazakhstan, Bata Asel and Ambassador Ashikabayev. So good to have you here with us. I'm going to get you to introduce yourself to our global audience. Bata, you start. Tell them who you are and what you do.
My name is Bata Jardimali. I am a lawyer and a human rights defender and a political activist. I'm originally from Kazakhstan, but now I live in Belgium, Brussels, where I received political asylum.
Good to have you on board. Asel, welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself to our viewers.
Thank you so much. My name is Asel Tutumlu, and I'm an assistant professor in international relations and political science at Near East University in Northern Cyprus. And I write about Kazakhstan. I am from Kazakhstan. And particularly my research focuses on paradoxes of authoritarian power, the rules, rule versus governance, and the description of the new type of systems of authoritarian regimes that have evolved after the 1990s.
Ambassador, welcome to the stream. Good to have you on board as well. Please introduce yourself to our international audience.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Yerzhan Ashikbayev, Ambassador of Kazakhstan to the United States.
If you are watching this program on YouTube, you can comment on it. You can ask our guests questions. You just pop your comments into the comment section. I'll do my best to involve you in the show as well. A guest, I want to start with Rafiq. This takes us back to January the 5th. He was protesting. This is what he had to say. I'm interested in your reaction. Let's take a look.
Dear journalists and bloggers, lots of versions of what happened here have been told. You must understand what has happened here. The coiled spring has now been unleashed after 30 years. Look, all of us have been fired upon. All of us went through these things, but none of us want to kill or put pressure on another person. Please, come here and see it with your own eyes. We show you the face of a new country, and you should witness it. We, Kazakh people, have patience. Stop it. We're sick about it. Look, soldiers are advancing here. Let them see it all. Stay with us and let's see where it goes.
So what Rafiq said there initially was there are lots of versions of what happened here. I want to hear a version from each of you. Very briefly, in the shape of, I'm just going to say, I'll give you a headline. Bota, what was your headline?
Yeah, may I start? Because you showed a protest from Almaty, and it's actually on the 5th of January. But actually, the protest started on the 2nd of January, and it started from a small town in Mangistau region of Kazakhstan. It's an oil-producing town called Zhanaozen. And then the protest started spreading all over the country. And this is very important to say that the protests were very peaceful, and very quickly economic demands turned into political demands. And the people on the streets, people were trying to reach the main squares in their villages, in every in their cities, main squares in front of the city halls, and to say their demands. They basically were they wanted to have regime change. And then on the 5th of January, it's really a big crowd. By the 5th of January, we had protests that spread over to 60 cities and villages around Kazakhstan. If you look at the map of Kazakhstan, it's really a lot, all over the country.
Let me show our audience what you're talking about here. That was, of course, just one protest. And I wanted to get your idea of what happened. So this is Kazakhstan, protests across the country. And you can see where those orange spots are. All of the protests, not just in one place, but in many places. I asked for a headline. Botar, I'll come back to you. Asel, can you give us a headline for your understanding of what happened?
So basically, I think the grassroots protests that were happening were kind of stolen by some kind of violent bandits. And unfortunately, the government's story that tells us that these were foreign-trained terrorists is not really making sense, particularly because in the story, in order to prove the foreign-trained terrorists, basically the government said that they showed the face of that participant who was a famous jazz musician in Bishkek, who under torture had to confess that he actually did it in order to escape, basically, free and have freedom. On the other hand, you have also the in the government story, the idea that, well, we cannot find this 20,000 terrorists that actually started to shoot at peaceful civilians and protesters. In the response to that, the government basically said that, well, it's because the terrorists attacked the morgues and took the troops. So that's why we cannot find them. So there are these ridiculous explanations that actually leave academic community and anybody actually watching Kazakhstan with big questions in mind. I mean, who exactly were these bandits and how come they were organized? And because as a result of that, the peaceful protests were actually stolen. I mean, really, that grassroots solidarity now is silenced with 10,000 arrests of people without the names, because we just know the number and we still don't know the names.
So let's see if we can get some clarity.
I can really clarify what happened.
Hold tight for a moment, because I have to share this conversation with three guests. So I'll come back to you. Ambassador, can you give us some clarity about the initial price hike, the fuel hike, that sparked the initial demonstrations, and then how they escalated, and then how you solve the issue?
Of course, Kazakhstan is definitely part of global economy. And what we've seen in with gas prices in Europe definitely affected Kazakhstan. So the spike in the prices of LPG triggered those public responses. And let me point out from the very beginning that the government has no issue whatsoever with peaceful protesters. In fact, the initial protests were peaceful and law enforcement took no action against them. It was not until certain groups turned violent and, Asel told, stole those grassroots protests. The government, and let me point out this precisely, the government jumped in and engaged. We are well aware of the concept of listening state by President Tokayev, and the government reacted to those legitimate, I underline legitimate, protests of the population, first in western parts of Kazakhstan, capping the price of LPG, capping the price of utility costs, of socially important goods, of gasoline, and all those actions by the government were implemented almost the next day. Protests started on January the 2nd, and then on the 4th, there was a decision by the government I just mentioned. And law enforcement agencies, and this also should be underlined, were instructed and were acting with utmost restraint. So regretfully, due to the stigmatized views and stereotypes, media coverage is not accurately reflecting the facts on the ground. And let me, I've prepared, this is an article from New York Times.
So you need to put the New York Times, we can Google it, don't worry about it.
January the 7th edition, page A8, bottom of the page, and it says, A television image of Kazakh security forces mm-hmm. beating demonstrators in Almaty on Wednesday.
So why are you quoting the New York Times on Al Jazeera?
But this is very symbolic. This is very symbolic. New York Times is known as a world-class, responsible journalism, renowned.
Right, so I am not going to engage with the New York Times article, but I am going to engage with what we're talking about right now.
Ambassador, if you use an example
from Al Jazeera, I'd be very happy. But I'm not going to engage with the New York Times. But I will come back to you because let's bring us up to date. I hear what you're saying. You're bringing clarity from the government's perspective. What do these protests, the escalation of the protests, starting with the fuel hike and then asking for so much more, tell us about Kazakhstan now? Not January the 5th, but now. Bota, you start.
Yeah, this tells quite a bit about Kazakhstan, because Kazakhstan was like a cooking pressure, right? People started with gas hikes only because it was the last straw. Basically, people fed up with this existing for 30 years kleptocratic authoritarian regime with really like absence of political freedoms, with a total monopoly of Nazarbayev and his family, like kind of the ruling elite over both political system and the economy. And even when we discuss the gas prices, and the ambassador refers to the kind of international demand and supply. But this is the issue in Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is a gas and oil producing country. But the monopoly over the whole sector mm-hmm. is in the hands of Nazarbayev's son-in-law, so-called prince of oil and gas, Timur Kulibayev. And they control the prices in Kazakhstan. When they say that, oh, this is market control, no. Actually, they sell our natural resources at the market price internationally, but at the same time, the workers in Kazakhstan, they receive salaries extremely low.
All right, that's a good point for me to jump off on. Our audience are watching on YouTube. I invited them to ask questions. This is Kamshat. Ambassador, I'm going to ask you to respond to this very briefly. Kamshat, who's watching us right now, in Kazakhstan, the level of poverty is over 60%, with the income maybe around $70 to $90 for the whole family. The protest is not just about the price of gas. The protest is about poverty and against the Nazarbayev family. Nazarbayev was the long-term president, the first president of Kazakhstan from 1990 to 2019. That's some tenure. Please go ahead, Ambassador.
Let's be correct statistically.
Please, go ahead.
We can refer to any source, be it World Bank or United Nations. The level of poverty in Kazakhstan is relatively high, but no one would ever say about 60%. Income of the families, talking about $70, $80 is a nonsense for the entire family. Mm-hmm. As of this year, the minimum wage is raised to 60,000 tengges, which is $150 at least, and consequently all the pensions, everything is raised, and of course there are issues. Of course, we need to address certain social concerns of the population. And this is exactly what President intends to do. I would definitely ask everyone to take attention to his State of the Nation, State of the Nation address, yesterday's address in the Parliament, where he put forward a number of initiatives designed to support long-term well-being of the people of Kazakhstan.
But, Yerzhan, can I just basically interrupt? I'm sorry. Like, if we look at that official statistics, then absolutely, this is so. But I think the World Bank calculates the, if you recalculate the level of poverty, basically, and the mean, the salary, the nature of the salary based on the mean, then you can see that these two are very similar to the level of poverty. And in addition to that, I think even President Tokayev has actually openly said that we have been miscalculating the amount of poor people by calling them different names, like samozanyate, like self-employed or partially employed. And I think this needs to be really revealed, because I don't think this is something, I mean, it's a problem that needs to be addressed rather than hidden and you know.
I said, with all due respect, we cannot operate with figures like 60% poverty in Kazakhstan. Let's be honest with the audience, with ourselves. Statistically, Kazakhstan has certain problems with wealth distribution. We are not ignoring them. And as a government, there is a firm commitment on the part of President Tokayev and administration now to pay even more attention to social protection of the population. Please, as a scientist, as a social scientist, please do pay attention to those rates and be careful with the statistic. I was telling that 60% or whatever, 60% poverty in Kazakhstan is nonsense.
I also want to just share with our audience who may not be deep into the knowledge of what Kazakhstan has in terms of wealth. It has a lot of wealth. It has oil wealth, natural resources. So there's a discrepancy between the wealth that Kazakhstan has and then maybe the lifestyle of people who are living in Kazakhstan. There's definitely a gap there. All right, so let me bring in another voice. This is Dr. Aijan Shashanova, a researcher at the OSCE Academy. Already now, we're looking at the aftermath of these demonstrations, these protests. And this is what she tells us about her analysis going forward for Kazakhstan.
The myth of stable Kazakhstan is over. We have seen the end of Nursultan Nazarbayev's era. We have potentially seen the birth of a new autocrat in the region, Kasym Jomart Tokayev. Kazakhstan will never be the same again. However, a lot will depend whether the authorities of Kazakhstan have enough wisdom to talk to the people of Kazakhstan and to address the public grievances, or it will follow the same old destructive path of shrinking the space for any dissent and creating further inequality between the rich and the poor in this oil-rich country.
So, Bota, in 2019, the new president of Kazakhstan went on a listening tour, listening to the people of Kazakhstan. Have you seen the benefits of that listening tour?
No, listening state is another, you know, window dressing concept that the regime created after mass protests that took place in June of 2019 after the stolen presidential elections in which the current president Tokayev became the president, and he's basically an enemy of existing dictator Nursultan Nazarbayev. And I have to kind of clarify that Nursultan Nazarbayev also, he resigned from his position as a president. He still maintains the control over the country in his position as the leader of the nation. And this is a constitutionally given position for him. And just one quick thing, talking about, like, it was wonderful listening to the state official, like a diplomat, talking about statistics in Kazakhstan. But I think that what we've seen on the streets of Kazakhstan, this is actually was a response to a Tokayev listening state concept, B, all the promises of the reforms that we've been listening for 30 years, like just empty, empty promises. And C, it's just what I believe that is a right now, it's the government is starting on the wrong footing with people because they what they're doing, instead of really addressing the issue, they now started lying about the origin of the protest, nature of the protest. We really have to return to the issue of this international interference of internationally trained terrorists that were blamed for the shooting on the streets, for the looting. There were three types of protesters on the streets of Almaty. A, really genuine, peaceful protesters. A lot of people that I personally know, really, civil activists. Like, and then we had looters, and they were organized by the state. They were sent specifically to discredit the protest and to justify the use of firearms against the protesters. And then the third type of people, it's, yeah, of course we had some kind of marginalized people.
So, Bota, this is where we started the show. I'm going to push us on a little bit further, because those protests were a few weeks ago, and now I'm looking at the aftermath. I want to bring in President Tokayev to talk about how he views what happened And that characterization really helps us understand what is going to happen in Kazakhstan next. Let's take a listen. Let's take a look.
The main aim of those who joined the protests has become obvious: undermining the constitutional order, destroying the governance institutions, and the seizure of power. We're talking about a coup attempt. It's obvious now that all these actions were coordinated from the same center, a well-prepared operation that reached a crucial phase. Simultaneous attacks on buildings of regional authorities, law enforcement bodies, detention facilities, strategic sites, banks, a TV tower, and TV stations have demonstrated that.
Ambassador, the involvement in Russia in quelling the demonstrations means that we're not talking about current protests. But as you go forward in Kazakhstan and you're looking at maybe reforms, how do you satisfy your citizens? What is on the agenda to do?
Well, thank you for this question. But first and foremost, let's be very precise in our statements. It's not Russian troops. It's CSTO peacekeepers, peacekeeping troops that were dispatched on the ground.
The Collective Security Treaty Organization, which is a regional body. Thank you for the clarification.
So we are not talking only about Russian peacekeepers, troops on the ground, but also about Armenian, Belarusian, and Kyrgyz, and Tajik, if I'm not mistaken. So the agenda forward is definitely identified by President Tokayev as a new Kazakhstan. We are very much intended to address all the concerns of the ordinary people. We are going to address discrepancies in economic system. President openly said about dissatisfaction with oligopolies, with monopolistic stances in different areas. And he openly declared that it's time for a much more fair and just wealth redistribution. So people's well-being is equally... So the economic growth should translate into actual benefits for ordinary citizens.
Right.
That's the main idea of his program.
Let me go to Christina Silva, and she's a research fellow. She's talking about the takeaway from what happened just recently. Here she is.
When it comes to the intervention of the Russia-led Collective Security Treaty Organization, it has huge impact on how Russia is perceived, both in the region and globally. Russia will gain new leverage in Kazakhstan, where its influence has been eroding in the last couple of years, and that leverage could accelerate integration within Russia-led organizations like the Eurasian Economic Union. So in a way, I see Moscow as one of the potential winners of this conflict, even if, and especially if, the CSTO mission would not result in anything as lasting and concrete as a permanent military base, for example.
So I guess I'm going to go to YouTube one more time because there's a really good question here. Hemis, who's watching right now, says, what outcome do you believe is the most likely result? We are at the very last minute of the show, so I'm going to get you to do this in a single sentence. Assel, you start.
They are co-opting the genuine reforms by creating various welfare packages and therefore buying out the loyalty of the majority of grassroots people who came out. But without the political reforms, this is not sustainable.
Okay, not sustainable. All right, Bota, your sentence is what?
Yeah, as a human rights defender, I have to say that right now, what we see in Kazakhstan, the aftermath, is a massive, massive persecution of civil society activists, of peaceful protesters.
Thank you,
Bota. Although Tokayev promised not to persecute them.
Thank you, Bota. And Ambassador, you have the last sentence in this show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having all of us. But Kazakhstan has demonstrated its resilience. It's withstand this stress test. And there will be a new Kazakhstan, much more open to the world and very much committed to its all of its international obligations, including the
Thank
ones
you,
in
Thank you, Ambassador. Thank you, Assel.
Thank you.
And thank you, Bota, as well. As Rafiq, the protester, said at the beginning of the show, lots of versions of what happened in Kazakhstan. Thanks for watching. See you next time.